36. They hit Mahenge 2 hours before dawn. In that time of utter darkness, when mankind's vitality is at its lowest ebb. The defence, put up by the corporal and 5 askari, whom Fleischer had left to guard his headquarters, was hardly heroic. In fact, they were only half awakened by the lusty and indiscriminate use of Flynn's boot. By the time they were fully conscious, they found themselves securely locked behind the bars of the jailhouse. There was only one casualty. It was, of course, Sebastian Oldsmith, who, in the excitement, ran into a half-open door. It was fortunate, as Flynn pointed out, that he struck the door with his head, otherwise he might have done himself an injury. But as it was, he had recovered sufficiently by sunrise to watch the orgy of looting and vandalism in which Flynn and his gun-bearers indulged themselves. They began in the office of the commissioner. Built into the thick adobe wall of the room was an enormous iron safe. "We will open that first," decreed Flynn as he eyed it greedily. "See if you can find some tools." Sebastian remembered the blacksmith shop at the end of the parade ground. He returned from there laden with sledgehammers and crowbars. 2 hours later, they were sweating and swearing in an atmosphere heavy with plaster dust. They had torn the safe from the wall, and it lay in the center of the floor. 3 of Flynn's gun boys were beating on it with sledgehammers in a steadily diminishing display of enthusiasm, while Sebastian worked with a crowbar at the hinge joints. He had succeeded in inflicting a few bright scratches upon the metal. Flynn was seated on the commissioner's desk, steadily working himself into a fury of frustration. For the last hour, his contribution to the assault on the safe had been limited to consuming half a bottle of schnapps that he had found in a drawer of the desk. "It's no use, Flynn." Sebastian's curls were slick with perspiration, and he licked at the blisters on the palms of his hands. "We will just have to forget about it."
"Stand back," roared Flynn. "I'll shoot the goddamn thing open."
He rose from the desk wild-eyed, his double-barreled Gibbs clutched in his hands.
"Wait,"
shouted Sebastian, and he and the gun-bearers scattered for cover. The detonations of the heavy rifle were thunderous in the confined space of the office. A gun smoke mingled with the plaster dust, and the bullets ricocheted off the metal of the safe, leaving long smears of lead upon it, before whining away to embed themselves in the floor, wall, and furniture. This act of violence seemed to placate Flynn. He lost interest in the safe.
"Let's go and find something to eat," he said mildly, and they trooped through to the kitchens.
Once Flynn had shot away the lock, Hermann Fleischer's larder proved to be an Aladdin's cave of delight. The roof was hung with hams and polonies and sausages. There were barrels of pickled meats, stacks of fat round cheeses, cases of Hansa beer, cases of cognac, pyramids of canned truffles, asparagus tips, pâté, shrimps, mushrooms, olives in oil, and other rarities. They stared at this profusion in awe, and then moved forward together. Each man to his own particular tastes, they fell upon Hermann Fleischer's treasure house. The gun boys rolled out a cask of pickled pork. Sebastian started with his hunting knife on the cans, and Flynn devoted himself to the case of Steinhager in the corner. It took 2 hours of dedicated eating and drinking for them to reach saturation point.
"We'd better get ready to move on now," Sebastian belched softly, and Flynn nodded owlish agreement, the movement spilling a little Steinhager down his bush jacket.
He wiped at it with his hand and then licked his fingers.
"Yep, best we are gone before Fleischer gets home."
He looked at Mohammed.
"Make up full loads of food for each of the bearers. What you can't carry away, we'll dump in the latrine buckets."
He stood up carefully.
"I'll just have a look round and make sure we haven't missed anything important." and he went out through the door with unsteady dignity. In Fleischer's office, he stood for a minute, regarding the invulnerable safe balefully. It was certainly much too heavy to carry away, and abandoning the notion with regret, he looked around for some outlet for his frustration. There was a portrait of the Kaiser on the entrance wall, a colour print showing the Emperor in full dress, mounted on a magnificent cavalry charger. Flynn picked up an indelible pencil from the desk and walked across to the picture. With a dozen strokes of the pencil, he drastically altered the relationship between horse and rider. Then, beginning to chuckle, he printed on the whitewashed wall below the picture, "The Kaiser loves horses." This struck him as being such a pearl of wit, he had to summon Sebastian and show it to him. "That's what you call being subtle, Bassy boy. All good jokes are subtle." It seemed to Sebastian that Flynn's graffiti were as subtle as the charge of an enraged rhinoceros, but he laughed dutifully. This encouraged Flynn to a further essay in humour. He had two of the gun-bearers carry in a bucket from the latrines, and, under his supervision, they propped it above the half-open door of Hermann Fleischer's bedroom. An hour later, heavily laden with booty, the raiding party left Mahenge and began the first of a series of forced marches aimed at the Rovuma River.